Welcome to the podcast formerly known as Public Handicapper. From now on, it is the Sport of Kings podcast. On this week's pod, we are handicapping stakes from Belmont, Woodbine, Churchill, and Gulfstream on Saturday, June 13th. This is show number 68, June 12th, 2020. I'm Scott Carson, founder of Sport of Kings, and I'm joined by my co-host, Hall of Fame handicapper, Chris Larmy. Chris, how are you?
I'm doing great. Sport of Kings. I like the sound of that, but you're going to have to explain to the listeners why you changed the name.
Well, that's a very good question. Public Handicapper was always conceived of as a site where everybody who wanted to be public handicappers would voice their opinions. And really, when it was conceived of by myself and my friend Len Vallejos, we thought, hey, this thing is going to write, the content's going to write itself because everybody wants to be a public handicapper. And what we didn't do was check with people to see if other people were interested in that, because it turned out that most people weren't interested in writing an analysis. However, they did really love the contest. So I just decided, hey, I'm changing it up so dramatically that it should be a new site, new name, new everything. So there will be an announcement hopefully coming out in the next week about the details of Sport of Kings. But for now, I can tell you that it will also be a free contest website. But the big difference, there's two big differences. The biggest difference is that there will be free past performances available for every race that we do. And it won't be only four races per week. There could be up to four contests per week. So more details on that later, but the first step was changing to this podcast, changing the podcast name to Sport of Kings so that we can start asserting ourselves, getting the word out.
Well, free contests, free PPs, that sounds pretty good to me. And I have a feeling that many others of the listeners and others out there will really enjoy the opportunity to play in a contest setting where you pretty much have everything set up for you at no cost. So that sounds great. And I'm really looking forward to it.
All right. Well, fantastic. Look forward to sending out an announcement next week. Hopefully it'll be next week. But before we do that, we have a podcast to do, and we have a special guest. He won the Breeders' Cup Betting Challenge and over $300,000. Most recently, he won a pick six in Hong Kong that paid over $1 million. It's the million-dollar man himself, Tommy the Hammer Massis. Tommy, welcome back.
Good morning, guys. A pleasure to be back.
Hi, Tommy.
Good morning.
Hey, sir. So, Tommy, I just have a couple of questions for you, and I don't know if you've already been asked these questions on other podcasts, but just a couple simple questions. First one is, how has the 1 million score changed your life?
No, it really hasn't. I've really been taking this virus seriously, so I'm just staying home most of the time and doing nothing, you know, other than looking for a condo or two. You know, for the time being, I'm just sitting on it and just waiting for more clarity in this world before I really do anything.
All right. And then the other question is, are you betting more now that you won that big payoff?
Well, you know, it's hard to get it out of your system when you're betting your whole life. But, you know, about a week after that, I lose a photo at Gulfstream that cost me like 120 Gs and nothing, you know, didn't bug me, didn't excite me. So it seems that other than you know, maybe taking shots on big days, you know, I can't see myself playing much longer.
You think you'll be more of an owner staying in the game that way?
Yeah, I got three horses now. I'm going to claim one today at Churchill, most likely, and I plan to have 20 of them by next season.
Fantastic. Chris, did you have anything for Tommy before we get started?
Two questions. One, you hit the pick six at Hong Kong. Is that something you've been playing for quite a while now, or was that this COVID, the lack of racing in the U.S. Moved you in that direction? I'm just curious how big a player have been on the Hong Kong scene.
We've had Hong Kong here in Toronto for, I'd say, around 20 years. And, you know, it used to be a separate pool, a small separate pool. And when it first started, we used to, you know, I used to hang out at this social club and come around, you know, 10, 11, we used to head down to Chinatown and go play Hong Kong once a week. It was fun. And I dabbled with it in the past. And this go around, it was like the third night I played.
So you're not a heavy Hong Kong player, but you've been doing it for quite some time.
Yeah, you know, I hit it, you know, I hit it not playing the way I usually play, where I'd already have the replays watched and the work done, and just, you know, open the form, watch some replays, called a friend and got some advice from him, help from him, and that's about it. You know, I have to admit, I'm good at what I do, but I was very lucky.
Easy game, right? Easy game.
Yeah, it was more, instead of playing horses day and night to kill the boredom of being shut in, I didn't want to do that. I could get hurt doing that. And I wasn't really doing any homework at that point at any track. So I figured Hong Kong, two nights a week, I play the pick six, can't get really hurt. Seemed like a good plan. And boy, was it a good plan.
Great job.
Yeah, really worked out. So
all right.
One other question. This leads more into what we're going into now. Your home track is Woodbine, so we're starting up at the beginning of the meet. Is there anything listeners should pay attention to in this early part of the meet, trainers, biases, whatever, that might be helpful?
No, it's tough to play because what happened was horses started to work out at Woodbine, and then the virus made them shut down. So you don't know which horses went back to the farm, which horses were actually not doing time workouts, but out there jogging or trying to sneak in or work every day. So it's really hard this time of the year to figure out who's got the fitness. And you know, you could look at certain trainers that started off quick, right? But then there's trainers with 30, 40 horses where some of the owners kept them in training, some of them sent them to the farm, and trying to figure that stuff out, you know. In one way, it's tricky, but in another way, it might set up some nice prices.
All right, we'll see if we can find some right off the bat here.
Okay, well, we'll start. First of all, just to let the listeners know, we are doing the 7th and 8th stakes races at Woodbine. Then we'll do the 11th at Gulfstream, which is, it's not a stakes race, but it's as good as a stakes race. It's a handicap. Then we'll do the 9th at Belmont, which is the Ogden Phipps Grade 1. And then the 11th at Churchill, which is the Grade 3 Louisville Stakes. So we'll start with the 7th race at Woodbine. It's the Woodstock Stakes. 6 furlongs on the synthetic with a purse of $100,000 for 3-year-olds. And Tommy, what did you think here?
Well, at first, you know, to me, Clayton was the cinch of the century and probably the best 3-year-old in Canada and a real monster. I couldn't see him possibly losing, but I think he's going to scratch out of that race and run on the 14th. He's in an allowance race on the 14th going 7 furlongs, and this is a Queen's Plate horse. So I think it's a good move, you know, to, you know, when you want to set up a horse for a mile and a quarter to run, start off running 7 rather than 6. You know, he looks like, you know, even in, you know, when you look at these PPs, I wouldn't have been surprised if he cleared this field or ran on the lead, even with the Wesley Ward horse, because he really, like, his replay first time out was just watch that. And this horse is a bear cat. But having said that, and most likely he will scratch, I landed on Looking at a Miracle, which 10 to 1 right now, I'd bet 20,000 right now if you gave me 10 to 1 this horse.
All right. Can you tell us why you like Looking at a Mirror?
Looks like, you know, there's a lot of speed in this race, and it might set up for someone off the pace. And, you know, you look at Looking at a Miracle's body of work. First time out, 5.5, he battled the whole way and hung on. Next time out, he stretched out and came off the pace. That's what I really, and he got in a bit of trouble that race too. So that's what I like. A horse that can go to the front at 5.5, come from the back at a mile and a 16th. And then, you know, his best race by far was probably the race where he came fifth. You know, he come fifth, beaten 12 lengths, but against Solo Volante, you know, King Guillermo was in that race. So I think he has these horses over a barrel.
All right. Well, that's a nice pick. I was a little bit against Clayton as a favorite. So I hope he stays in. Chris, what did you think here?
If he stays in and you bet against him, you need a truck to hit him to lose. This horse is a freak. Trust me.
Okay. Yeah. I definitely didn't watch any replays, so I'll have to check that one out.
Yeah, it's not only the replays. He's been the talk of the town since he first stepped on the track last year.
Okay. Chris, what did you think of Clayton, and who do you like?
Well, I'm always trying to beat the Claytons of the world, and I love it when they're getting hype the first time they step on the track. So especially off the layoff, I'd always be against that horse. But it sounds like I might luck out and the horse will scratch, because if Tommy's right, I would lose my money. But I'm actually on exactly the same horse, Looking at a Miracle. I like the horse quite a bit. One thing that I didn't mention I really like is if you look at the work tab on this horse, it had never previously really worked fast, but two of its last three works, one was 59 flat on the dirt training track, which is much faster than it had ever worked on the training track, the dirt track before. And then a 48 1/5 bullet, or not a bullet, but 48 1/5 work from the gate on the synth, that again was much faster than it's ever worked before. So to me, plus this horse won at first asking as a 2-year-old, and so it comes in off the layoff, and that was a sprint, and it's sprinting. So, you know, I just think the horse is ready to run a big race. And if the morning line holds up, like Tommy said, it's definitely a great play. I actually think this horse will be much better going longer, because the Looking at Luckies tend to really do better as they get older and stretch out. So I think this horse will run well in here, but I think it could be a candidate for some of the longer races going forward as well.
Wow. Well, between the two of you guys, since I don't have a strong opinion in this race, I'm almost ready to cede this race to Looking at a Miracle. But I thought it was a wide open race. I think any horse can win. And the horse that I landed on, and this is just sort of a random, it's a random pick in that it's a horse that I think can win and is likely to be a price. And that is the 5, Stormy Soul. She improved slightly from first to second race, which I always like. Then she had 6 months to develop. The trainer hits at 21%, 90 plus days. The trainer's 2-for-11 with his jock, who won last race with this horse. They also have a first-time starter winner at 6-to-1. So the layoff is not an issue. And there's nothing special about the workouts, but it just seems like this might be a special horse. And it has a sibling that was very good on the synthetic. And the mother was pretty fast, even though it was mostly dirt turf racing. So it's not a strong pick. It is my pick on top. Other than that, I think any horse can win.
Tommy, anything else you want to add on this one?
No, you know, I'm okay if Clayton runs. You know, to me, it's the cold exact there. If he doesn't run, I'll take a shot at looking at a miracle if I get that kind of a price, and probably will with, you know, Wesley, you know, just on the connections, right? The Sandra Dominguez, Ramon Dominguez, not that, the jockey, they're like beat track guys. They're not, they don't really have too many horses at Woodbine, and probably not too many this good. So, you know, I think you'll get a real good price on them, and I won't budge off of them.
Yeah,
I'm with you.
And, you know, I would not talk anybody off looking at a miracle. In fact, maybe that's an interesting exacta. Not that I plan on betting this race, but it could be an interesting exacta with Stormy Soul. Let's go to the eighth race. It's the Woodbine Starshoot Stakes. 6 furlongs on the synthetic again. This time, 100,000 for 3-year-old fillies. And Chris, what did you think on this one?
This race is a little more wide open than the last one, I thought, although they both are, especially if Clayton does scratch from the previous one. I didn't have a strong opinion in here. Where I ended up with the one I liked was Cool Shadows, who has been working well for the return. It's first two races sprinting were good, and then its first route was good. In fact, it's pretty much ran solid in all of its starts, and like I said, it's been working good for its return. It didn't have the best of trips in a couple of those starts last year. The negative is the trainer is not great off a layoff, so you know, I'm not super excited about this horse or anything, but I think it has as good a shot as most of the others in here are, although there are some that are faster. But this is all about which horse has developed the most since its 2-year-old campaign and which one is ready to fire right off the bench. And like Tommy said in the introduction, it's kind of hard to predict that right now. So I wouldn't take a short price in here, but my first pick was probably the 7-horse Cool Shadows.
I was writing when you were talking, so I'm just want to make sure I didn't miss this, that the horse has a smoking fast bullet workout on the synthetic last workout. So that's another reason to like him. Her.
Yeah, that track's been playing fast. Well. The synthetic tracks have been coming up with real fast times on the work. So it was a bullet, but, you know, the horse is a nice horse. But I take all those real fast times with a little grain of salt.
Okay, well, that's good to know. What did you think here, Tommy?
I don't know. I don't think anyone's going to run with Owlet early. And Owlet's been, you know, hasn't missed a beat in the training right through to June 1st, April, May, June 1st at Keeneland. Came here. He had his own little bullet here. And, you know, you guys tell me, is there anyone you see in here that can run with him, put any kind of pressure on him?
You know, I don't think. I don't think anybody can, I don't think any of them can bet her run with her. No, I don't think so.
Early, so that might be a big edge in here. I like a lot of horses better than her. I think the 5's a better horse, the 7's a better horse, the 10's a better horse. But, you know, and I'm not a fan of Wesley Ward, if, you know, just because he gets overbet with these younger horses. I like to bet against them, but this is a race here where, you know, it's the start of the pick 4, and I might just keep it all together, really, being honest with you guys.
Well, that's fair enough.
I don't want to take a horse that – I hate taking horses that I think will trip out when they're a low price.
Right. And, you know, sometimes you have to accept, even though you're looking for a price, you have to accept that you might not be able to beat the favorite in this race. I agree.
If you put one rocket in that race, if there was one other rocket in that race, you know, it would be a 5-7, 7-5, throw the 10 in the try all day. But, you know, I just took a, you know, Wesley Ward destroyed me the other day at Woodbine. I was alive for big money. There was a speed battle. His horse sat third 2 lengths off and circled around and beat my horse. So, you know,
yeah,
I don't even think that can happen here. I think they're all going to lay off of them. And, and I don't, you know, I'm not a fan, so I'm just going to most likely pass the race.
Okay. Well, I was going to say that I wouldn't bet against Owlette, so I am not going to bet this race. And it's not hard for me to bet it because I'm not looking at any other races at Woodbine besides these two. She lost her last race, but still held well despite setting a sizzling pace. First time going two turns. So she looks like she looks pretty plumb, but she could be 4-5. And it's just she's not that much faster than these horses. So if I'm taking a price and I'm going to make this one my pod pick, it's going to be Coach Lori, the 8 horse, who won her debut at Woodbine on the turf. She's been here for weeks and is working up a storm on synthetic. And her dam was a 2-time winner sprinting on synthetic. And I just think, even though she didn't run particularly fast in her first race, it doesn't really matter because it was her first race. And I really rarely take the first figure into account. And she just looks like a good alternative. It's not a strong pick again against the favorite, but it is, it's the horse that I would land on.
Yeah. I got nothing against that. Mark Hathi usually gives them a race. So that's, you know, I can see that horse winning also. Go ahead, Chris. Sorry.
No, now I was just going to say Coach Lori, anytime a horse wins that easily in its debut that early in the year as a 2-year-old, I think you could see massive improvement. Plus, Cassie's pretty good off the layoff. So I just think if this horse is ready to pop a race, it'll get bet. So I'm not sure that morning line will hold up if the horse is really live. But that was the other long shot that I was looking at from a morning line perspective. I just wanted to say a couple things about the pace and about Owlette. It seems to me like the 9 horse is perfectly capable of pushing the pace. That horse is quick. It was running against some really fast horses at Gulfstream and setting the pace. So I think it's capable of being on the lead in here. And even its last race, it didn't get the lead, but it was just in there against a faster horse. But I think it'll be out there pushing it. So I don't think Owlette's going to get an easy lead. And I'm always against these Wesley Ward horses as 3-year-olds because, you know, and this is one that's part of his program where he tries to, you know, get him to fire early on in Keeneland in April. And this horse was one of those horses, and it was in training from and racing from April through the end of November. So it's already probably developed a lot more than most 2-year-olds. So I don't expect to see a lot of improvement. And this is the time of year where a lot of these other horses could improve dramatically. So I'm always against his horses in this situation. Doesn't mean it can't win. It certainly could. Maybe it does clear, and even if it doesn't, it's a good horse. But in like Tommy said, they always get overplayed, especially as 3-year-olds, because of that very reason that his horses don't develop to the same extent typically as most other barns horses. 2-3. So that's just something to keep in mind.
Another thing I'll add about Coach Lori, I just looked it up. I hadn't looked it up, but Tommy, you mentioned that maybe she'll need a race. Mark Hathi, right now, he's hitting 2 out of 8 at Woodbine, and he's got a second and a third as well. And I just looked up the 3-year-olds, 180 days off, at least 180 days off. So usually that's their debut on synthetic. He is 9-46 with a 20% ROI, 147 ROI, which isn't great, but you know he's won a couple of stakes that way. The 2 stakes he did win, they were low prices. So if the word is out, you're right, the price could be low. But you know, I wouldn't underestimate the amount of money that's going to go on to Owlette.
I'm with you guys. So, you know, I think we're all in agreement. This is a race that, you know, if you do bet it and you lose, you know, you're going to say to yourself, I should have known better.
But I do think that the reason this might be playable is if they do really heavily play Owlette, because like I said, there's reasons why those horses tend to get overbet it doesn't mean they don't win. He wins his share. But as three-year-olds, the Wesley Ward horses in general tend to get overbid.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're in agreement on that race. And let's go to the 11th, our next race, which is at Gulfstream Park. It's the 11th race. It's a handicap, 1 mile on the dirt with a purse of 55,000 for three-year-olds and up, featuring very, very fast Diamond Oops. What did you think, Tommy?
I like a horse that I think is going to be faster out of the gate. I think Wentz is a good play in here. I think he could be the speed of the speed. He should clear, I think. And, you know, he does have a good race going one turn at Laurel. So I'm not worried about the distance. And he didn't even get the lead that day. So, yeah, you know, I that's, you know, if I wasn't talking to you guys, I probably wouldn't be betting Gulfstream today. But I think I'll take a shot at this horse for sure, because especially, you know, that track is playing speed. I really, you know, you guys can correct me if you think anyone else can really go with this horse. You know, they might try to lean on him, you know, once he gets the lead, but he just looks way too fast out of the gate, in my opinion.
Well, you are, I'm in somewhat agreement with you, and he is running third off a layoff, which is the way this trainer hits at his highest rate. Chris, what did you think?
Well, I agree with Tommy that Wentz is dangerous. The concern is, I think the three is the horse that might go with him, but if he's quicker, or they, you know, they don't go too fast up front, even if the three goes, Wentz is definitely dangerous in here. But the horse I like in here the most is the one horse Garter and Tie. And I know we've talked about this horse before on the podcast, and I had him in my watch list. It had a really tough trip last time. I think he can throw that race out. Now he goes third off the layoff, and he stretches out to a one turn mile, which he did pretty well at in the past at Gulfstream. He has a lot of upside. He was running fast races in May as a three-year-old, that if he can run back to that or improve, he could definitely win this race. He draws the rail, which isn't bad. I don't think he needs to be on the lead. He can get a nice stalking spot and then, you know, make a move when it's time to really roll. And he's getting significantly less weight carried than the favorites, Diamond Oops and Math Wizard. You know, they're carrying 125 and 123, and he's at 116. So to me, this horse is just a dynamite play at anything close to that 21 morning line, which is probably not correct, but I think he could be double-digit odds, and he's a great play. And I do like Wentz, too. Those two both are live in here.
Well, I agree with Garter and Ty, and he will be 20-1. He was over 20-1 in his last race, and there's just no reason to think, just because he had a bad trip, that he's going to get bet. Because he had a bad trip in a race where he was a long shot anyway, so nobody really even noticed that trip. I like him as well, and I liked him in that race, and I bet him. And I was bummed out when he got pinballed after the start. He still ran a solid race around the turn, and he then Jaramillo took him wide and just gave up on him at the beginning of the stretch and did not persist. So I think he's got a great shot here. I do think it's not like, I'm not going to bet large amount on him, because I think it is such a wide open race, and Wentz is my second choice as well. He broke from the inside in that last race. He was off a little bit slow, and he really had to motor to get the lead, and he ended up setting a fast pace of 44.3 for the half. And I remember I just watched it this morning. Pete Aiello saying that he ran a robust 22 quarter, and it's natural that he faded second off a layoff, and the trainer does do his best work third off a layoff, hitting at 21%. So I think he's got a big pace advantage, and that could be a really nutty 1-2 exacta. I think Diamond Oops, he seems like a horse that's prepping. He's, you know, this isn't necessarily his best distance. He's not working his brains out like he has in the past, and he's carrying that 125. So I think they're looking for bigger things down the road. And I'm not sure what to do with Math Wizard. That's another horse that I think could win. That's why I'm not going to bet great guns on Garter and Tie, because I think Math Wizard could run a big race. It's a tough race.
Hey, let me go over the two favorites, right? These are my thoughts on that. Here's Math Wizard. You know, he's a real nice horse. And then all of a sudden, Blinkers Come On. I know he's run with them and won with them before, but, you know, you win a grade one without the blinkers. You got two bad races. And, you know, I think that's I don't know what's wrong with the horse kind of move. Let's try this. So he's out. I hate seeing that. And Diamond Oops, like, we have a horse here at Woodbine called Cooler Mike, and it's the same kind of thing. 5 furlongs on the turf, 6 furlongs on the dirt, 1 mile on the turf, 1 mile and 1/8 on the, what's next? 2 miles on the synthetic? Like, pick a thing for the horse. That drives me crazy. I think it holds horses back. You know, you see in Europe, a horse that runs 1 mile doesn't run 7 or 1 mile and 1/8. You know, they stay at, you know, the trainer figures out what they're good at and stays there. And you know, it's just ridiculous when guys manage their horses like that. So I can't bet on a horse like that if he's 100 to 1. It just gets me dizzy. Then another point to the horse I like, Wentz. The contrarian in me says, if it's a speed track all day, I'm not playing Wentz. He's going to get overbet. He's going to have other horses quarter horse. But if it's a fair track or even a closer's track where he'll go and everyone else will say, you know what, let him go, that's where I'm more, you know, because it's the 11th race, right? You know, trust me, if it's a speed highway, you'd be tempted to bet this horse, but I'll put a line through him and the race. Because I've seen it happen. All these jockeys get bright ideas and they quarter horse, and now I'm getting 4 to 1 on Wentz, and he's sitting fourth going into the quarter. So that's something to think about too.
Well, Wentz could, I do think that 3 is probably going to go for the lead. And the only question is, can Wentz, if that's the case, can Wentz lay off the pace? And he has been passed, but he hasn't really, he was passed in one race on the mud at Keeneland. He was passed by a head in one of the calls, and then he came back and won by a nose. Otherwise, it kind of does look like he needs the lead to win.
Yeah, well, he has that race at Laurel where it kind of looks like he sat in the pocket, right? Well, he was 4 wide outside, right? But going back to the 3 horse, right? I wish there was a 1-turn race on his page, because he's never run 1 turn, right? So, you know, is he going to be faster, or is he going to be sitting 9th going 1 turn? It's a different ballgame for him, right?
Yeah, and it's a she, which is why she is carrying so much weight, less weight. It's a filly taking on the boys carrying 113. So she's getting 12 pounds from Diamond Hoops.
Yeah, and I think they're going to send her because they, you know, fillies against the boys, a lot of times they just want to get them out front, not have to pass horse or anything, just make them chase her. So, but I don't know if she's quick enough. It's a good point. I mean, it is a lot different when you are going a 1-turn mile against top horses. Just yeah. One thing on Diamond Oops, I think he's, even though his breeding doesn't necessarily say it, I think he's definitely better sprinting. So I think 1 mile, 1 turn, even his 1-turn mile is not his best, and giving all this weight off the layoff, I mean, there's a lot of reasons why I think Diamond Oops is really vulnerable, and that's one of the reasons why this race, you know, I think it's pretty playable. I'm pretty excited. And I think I'm much more excited about this race than you guys. On Garter and Tie, I think, is going to run a good race. This perfect distance for him, I think it's set up, he's sitting on a big race, has good recent workouts. I just like a lot about this horse. And if you're right, Scott, we do get 20 to 1. I think this is a great play. And yeah, right, it might lose. Maybe Math Wizard beats it, but that doesn't keep me from playing a horse at 20 to 1. I don't need to hit it every time. So.
Right.
I'm pretty excited about this race. And if Wentz can get in there at a price with it, you know, this could be a bombs away kind of race. So of the ones we've talked about, this is definitely the one I like the most.
Well, I'm going to I want to point out a few things about Letruska, which is one of the reasons why I think she has a shot to win. Absolutely, positively. She's 8 for 9 on fast dirt. I mean, her only other race was a turf race where she was out of the money. And she lost in her last race to a pretty good couple of horses, Blamed and Motion Emotion, even though it was an optional claimer. And if you look at her past performances, it's all ones. And it's, I mean, at least in the beginning, and she's got wins sprinting, plenty of one turn wins there, albeit as the favorite in Mexico. So, you know, like now she's only 5 to 1 and maybe she'll be bet that way, but I wouldn't dismiss her. So that's the only reason why I'm not as keen on the race. Cause sometimes I'll see, like the last time I saw Garter and Ty, I really thought he was going to just nail the field. Like, I just thought he was going to win. And, you know, he had that trouble. Whereas I think he could still run his race and still lose this race. I will bet him. I just won't bet him as much as I did last race.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Those races in Mexico, you sure those 5.5 furlong races weren't 2 turns?
That I do not know, because I have never been to Mexico. The 7 furlong certainly could be a 2-turn race.
Now, I hate that horse. I hate horses that only show me wire to wire, and I know she can't get the lead. So good luck trying to get that horse home.
All right. Well, I think we've talked enough about that race. Let's move to Belmont, where we have a horse who just beat Letruska in Blamed. It's the ninth at Belmont, the Ogden Phipps Stakes, a grade one, 1/16 on the dirt for $300,000 for fillies and mares, 4-year-olds and up. And I think it's your turn, Chris. What did you think?
I think this is a really good race. I'm against the favorite Ollie's Candy in here. The horse had kind of a favorable rail last time. I know everyone said it was a great race, but to me, there was an inside speed bias that day, and that horse benefited from it. The winner came back and didn't run that well out in California. This horse was entered to run in a turf race in California, and they scratched for this, which was kind of strange, I thought. And Point of Honor was much better than Ollie's Candy. Just had a really tough trip. And I definitely think Point of Honor will beat Ollie's Candy in this race. So to me, Point of Honor, very solid favorite. But I do think there's some horses that at a price that have a chance to win as well. But I think Point of Honor is the most likely winner. The other one that I'll say, there's two. I'll go with one because I think Scott probably likes the other. She's a Julie I liked quite a bit last time. She lost all chance at the start when she reared up right when they opened the gate. So I just would toss that race. Now she's second off a layoff, and there's plenty of pace in here. I think she's done one stalking, a fast pace, sitting off it. I think she could get a perfect trip in behind the speed horses, the 4 and the 5. And I think she's going to run a good race. I'm not sure how they'll bet this race, but she may get completely overlooked, especially after that last race. So I think she's value. So 2, Point of Honor, I think, very solid. And 3, She's a Julie, looks like pretty good value in here. So that's how I see this one.
All right, Tommy, where did you land here?
Yeah, you know, exactly my thoughts on Ollie's Candy. Everybody was raving about that race. But if you look at the race before that at Santa Anita, this horse had a perfect trip to CC and couldn't come close. So you know, I think that was a real headsy ride by Rosario that day. And, you know, I'm 1,000,000% against Ollie's Candy. And, you know, the horse I really like in here, and I'm a big fan of Pink Sands. Those last two races at Gulfstream coming from the clouds, that, you know, they're just worth watching, right? The only problem I got, the way I handicap, if that was my horse, this would be a 6-furlong horse where, you know, she'll get that 45, 44 half. You know, he got a 45 and 3, going a mile one turn, got the 45. And, you know, I know those horses are nothing compared to what she's racing against today, but this was a horse just, you know, really, really hitting it, you know, at Gulfstream. I'm really excited to watch Pink Sands. I think it's like a cold one too. And wow. I'm assuming that, you know, the other horses, the other four horses are all going to be close and there's going to be some kind of pace in the race. You never know with Rosario, you know, with Rosario, all these candy could be sitting five lengths behind Pink Sands. You never know what he's going to do. He seems to be there right on the leader and, you know, right at the back.
Well, that's it's real interesting that neither of you two mentioned my horse, which is the 4 Blamed. Let's see. Why did I like her? Well, she's a grade 3 winner.
She got 29 lengths to Pink Sands.
Well,
there's a good point of reference.
Wait, was that the last race?
That was the first race of this 4 race cycle at Gulfstream, January 25th.
Oh, right. Now that race just so happened. I remember on the pod, I didn't pick her. I picked her in the previous race, but on the pod, Chris was going on and on about how there was no way any speed horse was going to last in that field because it was such a smoking pace. You know, there was so much speed in there. So she got a, you know, it was not a good setup for her at all. But, you know, interestingly, she proved last race that she didn't have to have the lead. So I think she's capable of two things. She can either wire this field, which she might, because Ollie's Candy had to go from the one hole in that last race. So Ollie's Candy may decide, like, I'm just going to lay right off of Blamed. So she can win on the lead. But, you know, the key with her last race is they took the blinkers off for the first time ever. And she rated and she won pretty well. And she didn't run her best race ever, but it was close enough that with any improvement, she can get back to her 4-year-old best, which was where she won a grade 3 at Gulfstream. So I think she's a great price. She gets weight from all of them except for Pink Sands. I do like Pink Sands. So that's my second choice. But if Blamed is actually 10-1, which I doubt, but I'm also inclined to believe David Aragorn because he works hard on those morning lines. I like her 10-1.
Yeah, I think they'll get
just a couple. On Rosario, I always say that he either wants to be on the engine or the caboose. That's the way he rides. He doesn't usually sit in between. He wants to be, you know, on the lead or way back. So I kind of with you. To me, this race, you almost have to think 4 and 5 are going out, but you never know with the riders. That's why I wasn't so high on Blamed. I kind of like the horse. I just don't see this race setting up for her. I'm thinking maybe next time is a time to play her, hopefully, where she gets in a spot where she has a better setup. I'm not sure this is her ideal distance, although she's won at it before. But I
in fact,
think,
she's, you know, one for one.
But I think against this kind of competition, that's probably not her best distance, especially if she doesn't get the race shape she needs. But you know, you'll get a price, and you never know with Rosario. He might take a hold of all his candy. So and then she might just be out on the lead all by herself. I wouldn't talk you out of that one.
Look, Ollie's Candy is not usually on the lead. She was on the lead on July 28th. 2019 at Del Mar. And that was the only other time since the 2018. He had to go with her from the one hole in the Apple Blossom. There were 14 horses in the race. That was like the only choice they really had. And he managed to get second there. So, you know, I think there's a good chance that Ollie's Candy, that he lets Blamed just kind of go ahead. But again, my whole point with Blamed is that she can win on the lead or not. She proved in her last race that she doesn't have to have a lead, in which case, if you hate Ollie's Candy on the lead or not, you got to be somewhat interested in Blamed, who's going to get a perfect trip.
Yeah, I don't think
no,
Blaine
I
really
don't
raced off the lead. You consider that off the lead, out of length, and probably was tugging a half a length? Nah, I'm not sold. I don't see Blaine sitting two lengths off and sitting behind horses. Yeah.
Well,
and
more important,
when you're looking
before.
At a meltdown, when you're looking at a meltdown, it's not just the horses that go to the front. You got horses like She's a Julie or Golden Reward that'll come and put the final nails in the coffin on the turn. You need those presser stalkers that are going to make that middle move or that turn move to really set it up for, you know, the horses that come from the back.
Well, you know, like that's why they have the races, and that's what now I want to bet this race because I want to win money besides being able to say I told you so.
Yeah, and I'm kind of with Tommy that to me the race shape just totally against Blaine and Ollie's Candy. So I don't like Ollie's Candy at all in here, and I like the horse, but not in this race. I thought you would like Pink Sands for all the reasons that Tommy said, that she could get that set up again in here because I think the race shape will fit her. And Chug McGahee's been pretty hot at Belmont. His horses are all firing. So
well, I did pick her second. So I think any horse can win in this race, which is another reason why I'm not like super eager to bet a lot of money on it, because I think Ollie's Candy can win. I think Point of Honor can absolutely win. I mean, it's a very competitive field.
Yeah, it is. And that's a nice, even though it's a small, it's a nice competitive field. I do think Point of Honor is kind of a notch above everybody else, but maybe I'm wrong. I think she could run a really big race in here. Her last race, she had absolutely no chance, and she still almost got the job done. So, you know, I was really impressed in that race, even though she lost. She just had absolutely no chance the way she was ridden. That was just a pathetic ride. And now she gets back with Castellano, who hadn't been riding very good this year, but he's riding a lot better now. And I think, you know, she should get a perfect trip in here. So it's a small field will play to her advantage from off the pace if there's a solid pace. So, but this isn't much of a betting race from my perspective. Although anyway, I think we probably said enough on this one.
All right. Well,
yeah,
let's move
type
on.
Of race I'm really interested to watch, and I like watching horses that come from the clouds like Pink Sands. But yeah, I don't think it's a good race to bet. It's a great race to watch.
All right. I'll say that if Blamed is 10-1, it is a good race to bet, and I will bet it. All right. Let's move to the 11th at Churchill Downs. It's the Louisville Stakes, a Grade 3 mile and a half on turf. A purse of $100,000 for four-year-olds and up. And Tommy, the fifth race is yours to start.
Yeah, this is a race where, you know, at first glance, it looks like Arklow, you know, kind of lays over these horses. I don't know what the Roger Atfield horse is all about, the rail horse coming from Ireland. I'll be honest, I didn't watch any replays. There's not really much to watch. You know, he didn't run that good. They didn't race for that much money. But, you know, this guy to me is like one of the greatest trainers ever, anywhere. So that horse, I'm not sure about, but talking about Roger Atfield, I think if, you know, I like the rider change a lot, obviously, but Tyler Gaffney's another guy who likes to take hold. I think if Tizzis Lamb shakes loose in here, good luck to the rest of them. You know, to me, Arklow would be the only one that could run down a loose Tizzis Lamb.
Well, I think he's got no choice but to go for the lead, and that's the way he wins. So he's likely to do that, regardless of the jockey.
It's the horse below him, right, Lombo? You know, I don't know what this horse is doing in the race. I don't know if he has another horse he's trying to set up or, like, you know, what's that horse doing in the race?
Well, maybe Chris can tell us. What do you think, Chris?
Yeah.
I think he's going to make it impossible for Tizzis Lamb to win. He and the 11 horse Rise the Guy at a mile and a half, they're going to go, there's no way Tizzis Lamb gets away from both of those two. So I don't like Tizzis Lamb that much. Plus, he's carrying a lot of weight. I don't think he's going to get an easy lead like he does a lot of times in these turf routes. So I don't like him at all.
Yeah, he is sneakily fast, though. I know those fractions don't show it, right? But, you know, you can watch some of his race. He's pretty quick out of that gate. He's got quick feet. So, you know, and also, like, if you're riding those other horses and Tizza Slam's got to be 20 feet out of the gate, do you go? Do you sit?
Yeah, I don't know. Lombo's been, you know, up near the pace and dirt races in California. And a lot of races at Santa Anita. I just don't see how at a mile and a half this horse isn't on the lead in here. I'd be shocked if the seven's not on the lead in here. I don't know why else they would enter him. You know, why would you enter him in here if you weren't going to put him on the lead? So I don't like Tizza Slam much, but I mean, I could be wrong, but these mile and a half races, any horse could go to the lead if they want to send them. And certainly horses with natural speed, like the seven or the 11, are capable of being out there at just as fast or faster than Tizza Slam.
All right. Who do you
like? I'm just looking at the only way to beat Arklow, and that's the only way.
Oh, I think
the only way.
I think Admission Office is a better horse than Arklow. So I like Admission Office a lot in here.
All right. Well, let's pick our winners and then go into all the details.
All right. Like so we usually do. Admission Office, I think, is a standout in here. I don't like the post, but he has some tactical speed. And I think Le Perru rides pretty well in Kentucky, and he'll get him a position where he won't lose too much ground. And I think he's the best horse in the race. So I don't think he's a great win bet at 3-1, but I agree that Arklow and Admission Office kind of lay over these field on numbers. The only other horse I'm interested in, it might be a possible price play, is the 4 horse. He's a Lemon. It's a Grand Motion horse off a layoff. Motion's been doing well. This is a horse that's bred to get better as it gets older and at long distances. And I'm sure he's going to improve some. I don't know if it'll be right off the bench, but this horse, a mile and a half, he's bred to run a mile and a half, and I expect him to improve quite a bit. I just don't know if he can improve enough to beat Arklow and Admission Office, but I think he could definitely beat everybody else in the race. So I like the 12 Admission Office, and then as the price play of the 4, he's a Lemon.
He's no Lemon. That his name is, it's the opposite, right?
Right.
He's not no a Lemon.
Got it right.
But anyway, just a couple of positives that I will add to He's No Lemon. Grand Motion is 5-16 at Churchill right now, so he's hitting with everything. And you're absolutely right about that breeding. So, and he's 1-1 at the distance. So I don't think that horse can be 15-1. But if he is, definitely worth considering. I agree with Tommy. I think this is Tizza Slam's race. He runs consistently. He's 4-9 at the distance. He's going to have the lead. Lombo, I don't know why he's here either. Maybe because his mother won on turf and they think that he might be able to do something on turf. He won a mile and eighth race at Oaklawn by sitting in second for at least the first quarter. So I think that Tizza Slam is going to get the lead. He's, you know, if they do press him, if they try to beat him, then yeah, there could be a pace collapse. And you know, like he's only 7-2. So there's no reason to get excited about the horse that could suffer from some major pace pressure, but he's the horse that I think is the most likely winner. He's also working out great, and the trainer is 4-27, which isn't a great percentage. With 4-year-olds off a 180-day layoff plus on turf, but his ROI is 181 for a $2 bet. So he's still beating the takeout. And I think he's got a great shot. The horse that I'm interested in to possibly complete the exacta, and I would even do an exacta box just to be safe, is the 8. And I don't know if I'm pronouncing this right. Jesus Solitude, who is 1-for-1 at the distance, but was DQ'd. So it looks like it's 0-for-1 and ran a really solid improved race on April 5th at Tampa. And it came up a pretty nice figure. And then in his next race, ran against what's a racing flow fast, a CFR of 9. So it was a speed favoring race. The flow was speed favoring. And this horse was off the pace, coming off a top. So I think since he already won at 1.5 miles, that this horse could be pretty well meant and could surprise. I'm against Arklo because he ran a couple big races last year. He still hasn't gotten back to those numbers, and he's not working out like he usually does for Brad Cox. So usually Brad Cox, if he's going to have the horse ready, they're working as fast as they usually do. And this horse is working slower. I'm also against the admission office. I don't like the post. And I think that last race, the two races ago when he ran second to Zulu Alpha. Now understand, I bet admission office over and over again. So I like the horse, but he ran his brains out that race and still lost. And both he and Zulu Alpha have come back and disappointed since that race. So I think that the race was a big enough race that it set him back, and he's going to have to show, like, I, you know, maybe he needs more time off. Maybe he can run back to that number and win this race and surprise me. But as a possible favorite from the outside, I'd be against him. So that's why I'm pro Tis a Slam. Although I won't say I'm betting a lot of money on the race.
Just one.
Can I make one point about? Go ahead.
I was just going to say one note on Tis a Slam. He's had 10 starts, I think. I might be off a race or two outside of Canada, and he's off the board in 8 of those 10.
Okay, just, but he won this race. He won this race last year, so keep that in mind.
Right. That was the only time he won out of 10 tries, and he got a super easy lead, and he's not going to get that in here. But I mean, 8 out of 10 off the board, not one off the board. So just. I think he's a real big underlay at 7-2. So we definitely have a difference of opinion in this race.
Yeah. I just want to make a point about figures. Every, you know, at this time, you know, usually by April every year, you go look at Belmont or Churchill, and it seems all the horses at Tampa, all the great turf horse, all the greatest horses in the world have been at Tampa in the winter, if you look at their figures. So I think the guy whoever does the figs, and I'm talking all of them, Buyers, you know, all the other sheets. It seems to be, you can take 10 points off of the Tampa numbers. And opposite to that, whoever does it at Woodbine, you know, Woodbine, it seems to be a lot more conservative. And I'll give you an example. Presque Isle horses come to Woodbine, and a 7-claimer comes from Presque Isle and runs in a 20-claimer on Woodbine, and they always have the best figs. So taking those Tampa figs, in the garbage, taking the Woodbine figs in the garbage, the opposite reason.
Well, I agree with you that you do have to, got to take, sometimes you have to take figures with a grain of salt. I think in 20-1.
Tampa, yeah. Tampa, just those are, as soon as I see a horse in a race, his last race is, you know, from Tampa, out, because their figs are always a lot better than they are.
Okay. Hey, look, you know, it's a very contentious race, and I'm not surprised that Chris is against Tis a Slam, especially if it you're right that he did win this race with a very slow pace last year, and there were only 7 horses in the race, and there's 12 this time, so there's going to be a faster pace. The question is, can he handle it? And he might not. And I'm not mortgaging the house to bet Tis a Slam. He's just my top pick.
Okay, you confused me there.
I'm saying I just picked Tis a Slam, but I acknowledge.
Okay, you just said you were betting them.
No. I said I'm not mortgaging the house to bet him. I'm not even betting him. I'm going to bet an exact box with Jays' Solitude, despite your rant about Tampa figures, because I think that the horse at 20-1, I think could spice it up, and I am against the two other favorites.
Yeah, another note on Tis a Slam, right? That the rider Steve Bain, who's been riding him, he's a real one-dimensional rider. Maybe that's what you need with this horse, but he just sends everything.
All right. Well,
I don't think sitting in the hole with this horse will do the trick either. So it's kind of a catch 22. Yeah, it's another race. It's a real good race, but yeah, am I going to bet Tis a Slam at 5-1? No, I don't need to bet this race. There's Arklow, yeah, his last two races, they are grade ones. Maybe they're not that good. Maybe they are that good. The bottom horse I hate, because that race, admissions office, that race where he comes second at Gulfstream, two back. Well, the Triactor were sitting last, second last, and third last. The race fell apart.
Well, you guys,
I don't think any of those horses,
you know who's going to win after all this? It's going to be Appreciato. I'm just kidding. Now, just for purposes,
Lumble, wire to wire, Lumble, pay $90. Yeah.
Just for purposes of brevity, do we have any other plays at any other track from either of you gentlemen?
Tommy, anything?
Yeah. Well, I got, you're looking at race 7 and 8 at Woodbine. There's a horse in the 6th race that I'm kind of fond of.
Who's that?
I don't know if you want to
share.
If you guys could look quickly.
You want to share share that horse, or are you just going to keep everybody in suspense?
Yeah, it's a horse called Nashville Knight. It's a horse called Nashville Knight, running on the turf at Woodbine for trainer Norm McKnight, and I think you guys know the owner.
Oh, is that your horse running in the 6th?
Yeah, he's running in the 6th on Saturday. And then I got a horse on Sunday called Martin Lake that's going to be 1-9. If you want to, you can just take him to the bank.
So tell us about Nashville Knight. How's he coming into the race?
Nashville Knight, yeah.
Well, Nashville Knight, he needed the little break. He's an older horse, and I claimed them, got a win in a second out of him, brought him to Oakland, which was a huge mistake. And, he hasn't really been the same since he came back from Oakland, but I think this race just might, he might be good enough for this race, just off of that fitness and being on the turf. And, I think he might run a real good race in here.
Interesting that it's Nashville Knight with a K-N-I-G-H-T, which is the way your trainer's name is spelled. Chris, did you have any selections outside of spot plays outside of the races we covered?
No, not really. I think we've covered the ones. I haven't looked at too many outside what we've covered.
Well, I'm just going to give one pick that I haven't decided how much I'm going to bet, but I have to bet because I picked him on the pod last time he ran, and he got huge trouble. It's in the Churchill 7th. It is the horse Full of Run, the 2 Full of Run. I thought he had a positive pattern going into his last race, and he just got absolutely stymied. I still have to watch the replay to see how bad it was, but I remember when it happened, I was like, oh, it's over, and it was over. So I will be betting him. I haven't handicapped enough to decide how much I'm going to bet, but he's not like a pound the table kind of winner, but definitely a horse to consider if you are playing Churchill on Saturday. All right. Well, I guess that wraps it up. I'd like to thank our guest, Tommy the Hammer Massis. Tommy, thanks for joining us again.
Anytime, guys. My pleasure. I can't wait to get to a racetrack soon. Man, it's driving me crazy. That's all I ever wanted to do. That's all I want to do is be at a racetrack.
Let us hope that the border is open And they are allowing fans at Woodbine in September, because that is a great time to go visit you guys in Canada. And I hope to do it again this year.
Yeah, and I can't wait to get back to Keeneland.
All right. Well, that will conclude the show number 68 of the PH Pod. Good luck in your wagering adventures, and please enjoy the Brooklyn Boogaloo Blowout.
Cheers.
Giddy up.